sweat technique. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I'm on location today at U of H, calling Houston Rice Silver Glove Series, my second Silver Glove game of the year. There is a the Rice starter is named Jackson Blank. Any relation?
Not that I know of, but I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
Do you want to play a game?
Okay.
Who has better numbers, Jackson Blank or Joel Blank?
Jackson Blank.
You think his numbers are better?
Yeah, because I've already been through this where psychotic twitchers went and like dug up all my old stats from like way too long ago that I don't even care about anymore. And so, yeah. And Barry Laminack did this to me once.
Well, what was your career ERA? I really don't know. I don't remember them doing this.
I think it was like four something.
No, your numbers are better then. So okay. Jackson Blank, 0-4 this year, 29 strikeouts, 10 walks, and 24 innings, a 5.63 ERA.
Okay.
So Joel Blank or Jackson Blank?
Now, is he who's interim manager or?
No, he's not interim. He's full time. David Pierce.
Okay, so he took over the program from Cruz.
Yeah, they gave him the job. They hired him from he was a special assistant to the head coach at Texas State. Of course, he was at Texas last year.
Oh.
Got fired. They hired Schloss, the whole ordeal with A&M Texas. So Pierce was, you know, he was helping out Texas State, and he has a long history. He actually went to U of H, but he has a long history with Rice, longtime assistant. And when they fired Cruz, they hired him a few days later. No, he's permanent.
Gotcha.
He's their
okay.
guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a good coach too. He'll turn him around. He'll do a good job. He'll do a good job for them. But yeah, so you better. What was your velo? How does that compare with Jackson Blank?
I was 88-91 in my senior year.
Oh, here's the report on Blank, 88-92. Y'all might be the same guy.
Is he left-handed?
No, I think he's right-handed.
Okay, there you go.
No, he's right-handed. So he's you from the opposite side. Here's the scouting report on him. See if this backs up to Joel Blank. Never afraid, never backs down.
Oh, I think, yeah, that's, yes.
Is this you?
Okay.
Benjamin Button type of deal?
Okay, well, I'd love to go back and try it again. I can tell you that.
You've got the first initial and everything. He's a Jay Blank on the mound tonight.
So we're in 21?
We'll let you know. I'll let you know how he does tomorrow.
Joel Blank, man.
He's got this is awesome. The Cougars are facing a Jay Blank tonight.
I mean, don't get blanked by the blank man. That would be a bad look.
How are you going to work this into your call, Jeremy? I feel like there's got to be like an Easter egg you drop in there.
Man, I might have to do something. I have to think about it. I just saw the starter, so I haven't had a chance to
work
it.
What's his jersey number? Not 21.
No, his jersey number is a big one because he didn't load initially. It's 55.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a big one. All right. Got sidetracked there a little bit.
All right, family. Go get him.
I was just blown away with the Jay Blank.
hopefully
someone hits a bomb off of him, and I'm like, oh, he just killed Blank, and we can just play it as a drop. We'll see how it goes.
Is that the guy quick twitched and went deep, took him deep.
Yeah, or it could also backfire on me, like if he just shoves. It's like Blank shoving on the Cougars, you know? So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if there's anything that comes out of it. This Thursday, the entire station headed to East River 9 from 7A to 6P to help kick off their start to the 2025 Masters. We're going to have our guy Will Doctor on tomorrow to preview the Masters from a betting perspective so you can make a little green as they try to win a green jacket. Then Friday, the Paul Gallant Show, Killer Bees, broadcasting from 12 to 6 at our Bracket Madness prize pickup party at St. Arnold Brewery. Our winners will receive an email on Tuesday if they were a winner in Bracket Madness this year! Exclamation mark. I love to rip Joe's reads that he types up. It's one of my favorite pastimes, I think.
He did send us one on the fly yesterday, which backed up the fact that as much as sometimes I thought you were tongue-in-cheeking, like, who wrote them and blaming Joe for it, yesterday we had a late giveaway for FAO. And he's like, I'll get it to you soon. And all of a sudden, I saw him on his phone. And next thing you know, he sent the complete reason. Okay, maybe he does do right. He writes.
I love the remote name on Friday. The remote name on our show, it's at St. Arnold, which great spot to hang out.
Yes.
I'm going to have to be on remote that day myself. I'm sad that I'm going to miss that one because it's one of my favorite spots in the city. But the name of that remote day is our Bracket Madness Prize Pickup Party.
That's not too long, is it?
I mean, man, you know, did y'all used to watch Friends by chance?
I did, yeah.
I watched Friends when I was younger. I regret it. I think it's a terrible show now. I can't watch it anymore. Like, I'm all Friends'd out, and I haven't watched an episode in a decade. But there was that one episode where Joey was, like, doing the acting with the guy who, like, really enunciated the P's, where he was, like, spitting on him with the P's. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's what I remember when I'm reading this. Bracket Madness Prize Pickup Party.
I think it's missing something. You might need a few more words in that.
Bracket Madness Prize Pickup Party.
Frenzy,
clever name, too.
Fiesta.
All right, that's enough ripping on old Joe. Astros lost a baseball game yesterday. A game that it was a weird game because you're getting shoved on. It carried a no-hitter into the fifth inning. Jose Altuve breaks it up with a home run. Then you lead late. Then Joe Espada goes with Taylor Scott, I think this is the first time he's used him in a like that setup situation, in the seventh or the eighth. Like, he's been using Brian King to set up Brian Abreu.
I thought there was one game previously that he might have used him in the seventh, but
I'm with you.
I was like, why is he in the seventh inning?
Yeah, so it was weird that he went with him. He blows the lead. He blows the game. Mariners win in a game that was very winnable for the Astros.
As much as, like you said, you were being no-hit by a guy in Gilbert, Logan Gilbert always seems to bring his best when he faces the Astros. You only get two hits in the game, but you had it in the palm of your hand in the bottom of the eighth inning with a one-run lead. That's what drove me nuts, was the fact that from a Taylor Scott perspective, you know, the one thing you don't want to do there is walk a guy, let alone the first two guys, and set yourself up for what eventually happened. And then because of the fact that Hader threw two innings the day before, you didn't want to, he was off limits. He wasn't going to throw last night. You knew he kind of wanted to use Abreu in the ninth. But everything else was set up. And I was going, coming off the Cougs game, I'm like, I need a little joy. The fact that I watched the comeback, I watched them get the seeing eye, which was called an error on Christian Walker's hard hit ball that scored the two runs. I was like, yes, Astros are actually going to win in Seattle in the first divisional series that they've got on the road in Seattle. This is great. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in, and I'm going, oh, Lord, I'm going to get another kick in the ribs before I go to bed. And then, lo and behold, with a guy like Polanco, Abreu's fastball was getting by him. And then he goes back to the slider, and it's like, well, you kind of put it on a platter. It sat up high, and you're like, oh, boy, here we go again. It sucked.
Yeah, it might not have been a good pitch selection there and then not good execution there. I pulled up Scott. He had pitched in the eighth, but it was in a game that they were losing against the Mets.
Okay.
And, look, I know that Hader wasn't available, so it changes your pecking order. But I had figured that King was ahead of Scott in the pecking order. And I know they're different, righty, lefty. It was probably the pocket that they were facing, Espada playing the matchups there. So, like, I understand where Espada's coming from. He probably has Scott and King on equal tiers, right? And there's probably hitters that he prefers Scott, and there's probably hitters that he prefers King. So it probably depended on who was coming up for Seattle. And that's why they had the eighth and not the seventh. But still, I like King more than Scott. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think I want King on a higher echelon than I want Taylor Scott.
The way he's pitched early in the season, I would say, regardless of matchup, he's my seventh inning guy. Until further notice, until you see what Whitley does and if Ort's got the same kind of stuff, he would be my seventh inning guy regardless of righty-lefty. But I hear what you're saying. I think he absolutely did that. I think he saw the guys coming up. He said it was better to face a righty. And look, let's just be honest, Taylor Scott, after the really hot start, and maybe they overused him, and maybe, I think you might have mentioned this in the past, but maybe that was his career year last year when he got super hot. But regardless, he hasn't been the same pitcher like he was in the first half of last year. And to me, that was a spot where I was like, there? I thought he had other options. I was thinking it would have been King as well, and I was flat out expecting the worst, and then lo and behold, the doors fall off. You only got two hits, and you could have won that game.
I can't go overuse on Scott, though, this early in the year.
No, not for this year. I'm saying last year he was on fire for the first half of the season, and then he got used so much that the second half of last year I thought that he was gassed.
Yeah, but that shouldn't carry over into this year.
No, it shouldn't.
Right. It could. Like, it could accrue and come into play in the summer or, like, in the fall, but that should not come into play in April.
No. By this year, too, I think teams had never seen him before. I think teams got a really good read on him last year. They knew the sweeper. They knew some of the pitches that had been effective for him. and the combination, we don't know if he'll ever be the same kind of pitcher that he was the first half of last year.
I mean, if we want to have a real honest conversation about Taylor Scott, he's 32 years old, soon to be 33. Like, there's probably a good reason that he has never had a lot of major league success. Some of the predictive numbers also didn't love Taylor Scott last year, despite him having a low ERA. There is a very real possibility, that Taylor Scott got by with smoke and mirrors last year. There is a very real possibility that he is not a big league reliever. And if he is a big league reliever, it is probably more likely that he shouldn't be one of your top three guys.
Yeah.
And look, I get that Hader wasn't available, but I just figured it'd be King in that spot, not Scott in that spot. And then you look at the way that they've used him too. Like, it's weird to me how they've used Scott, because they use him in the eighth inning down, you know, to the Mets. They use him to get four outs when they're down by the down to the Giants. They use him against the Twins in the fourth inning whenever they fell behind early. And they use him in the eighth inning yesterday. So, like, the way that Espada had used him up until last night was we're in these low leverage spots. And then it's like, okay, here we go. Here's a brainchild from Espada. Instead of using him in low-leverage spots, let's throw him into a high-leverage spot. It seems bizarre. It seems like a contradiction to how they've used him so far.
And it's also against a team that's seen him quite frequently, you would believe, because it's a divisional foe where you played him 13 times last year. And I'm sure they've also seen enough of Scott to where it's not like you're catching a team from the National League or a team that, you know, hasn't seen him as much. But, yeah, I was flabbergasted that they went to him at that spot. I thought that there were a couple of different options, but my main option was King. But I really was surprised that he did what he did, because, like you said, too, he's not exactly using him the way he used him last year when he was hot in a high-leverage situation. And now suddenly here he comes in a one-run game where you've only mustered two hits, but yeah, you found a way to, you know, scratch and claw your way into a lead, and now he's your high-leverage guy?
Yeah, that was a weird deal. Also, some tragic news. I hear this news about Octavio Dotel. He was at a, it looked like a club in the Dominican Republic, and the roof collapsed. He was trapped in the all of the mess, and he survived it, went to the hospital, and then when he got to the hospital, they pronounced him dead.
Yeah, it was bizarre because I had a couple of buddies that work in sports that were debunking the initial reports that he was dead, going, no, he's not dead yet. And then all of a sudden, like a half hour later, here comes another wave of the confirmation that he actually is. And you're like, well, good man, that's sad. He's only 51. A lot of people have a lot of good memories of what he did when he was with the Astros, played with a ton of teams, but had a really good career. And you hate to hear that.
I want to say he started the first game at then Enron Field.
The Yankee game?
No, because I think that was a
the Yankee,
I think
was
that
a preseason
was an exhibition
game. Yes.
I think Dwight Gooden started that game.
Okay.
I want to say Octavio Dotel started the first regular season game at Enron. But, of course, because remember, he was a guy who converted to a reliever after kind of failing as a starter and was a lights-out reliever. I loved Dotel. The Lidge, Dotel, Wagner. Dotel was awesome. I loved Octavio Dotel. Yeah, the way that I saw this news was that he was trapped in the rubble. So it's like, I don't know if he's alive or if he's dead. Then it said that he's alive and on the way to the hospital. And then I saw that he was pronounced dead once he got to the hospital. And then, you know, you also can't trust the news that's coming from the Dominican Republic, too. But the Astros have tweeted out that he did pass. So, you know, maybe the details are a little fuzzy, and maybe that comes out in a little more clarity later. But he has passed, and that is some tragic news. 713-780-ESPN. I want to talk a little bit more about the game yesterday. We talked about Espada's decision to go to Taylor Scott. What if they just left in Wisniewski? Was that an option there? And then this Spencer Arrighetti news is just awesome, isn't it? We'll discuss that as well. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know, I always tell you how great Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston is. I really want to be out there today. I'm going to get out there very soon. I got some sadness to cure. And Two Creeks Crossing Resort is going to go a long way in helping cure that. If you're looking to escape the rat race, if you want to get rid of the hustle and bustle for a few days, well, Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston is the place to do it. Whether it's the weekend, maybe it's still a few days in the midweek, whatever you got to do, get on out there. Escape the city. Escape the stress. Go out there by yourself. Escape the family. And enjoy the or take your family. I'm kidding. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com. Open green spaces that are just beautiful. Wildlife you don't see in the city. Well, a lot of times, although it is wolf season, I guess. Beautiful mature trees as well, and some of the best fishing in Texas. You cannot beat that. It's just 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Is hiking your thing? Well, they got 92 acres for you to explore. Maybe you're a kayaker. Get out there and do some kayaking. Pickleball courts, or you can just hang out by the pool with me and have a drink or two. Two Creeks Crossing Resort also loves to take care of their visitors, a barbecue cook-off, crawfish bowl. They're always conjuring up ideas to make sure you have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing. From glamping to the cabins to the tree houses, or just pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Book your weekend escape now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
The Del Olalea Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
They need Altuve didn't move back to second base. Sorry, gave my glove to a kid.
He would just grab someone else's glove. Dubon, yeah. You're not playing.
Yeah, whoever got hurt, you're just like, all right, Brendan Rodgers, that's my glove now.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard. I'm Jose Altuve.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Catch a live Soccer Matters at Senate Avenue Brewing tonight from 6 to 8. Get on out there, hang out with Glenn. Glenn's going to have some live guests, including Dynamo defender Griffin Dorsey. Your first beer is free, courtesy of Senate Avenue Brew Company. This is a free beer tomorrow that this is free?
No, this is tonight at the remote.
Okay. Who wrote this one?
This was me based off what Glenn said on his Twitter account, so I'm taking Glenn at his word.
Brian, this reads, your first beer tomorrow is free, courtesy of
Senate
Avenue.
Oh, you know what?
Brew
okay.
Company.
See, I copied and pasted, and he probably sent out the tweet yesterday, so that's on me.
All right, let's re-rack this, clean it up, and post. Soccer Matters with a live remote tonight. Catch them at Senate Avenue Brewing from 6 to 8. Live guests, including Dynamo defender Griffin Dorsey. Your first beer tonight is free, courtesy of Senate Ave Brew Co. You can follow them on social at Senate Ave Brew Co. Get over there, Senate Avenue Brewing. Check out Glenn, special guests. Griffin Dorsey, ticket giveaways, Soccer Matter t-shirts, and Soccer Matter hats as well. It'll be a great time tonight, Soccer Matters. Glenn does such a good job with that show. And get on out there to Senate Avenue Brewing. Check him out live and in person. You know, he's really good on air. He is way better looking than he is on the air. And he's really good on the air. But that is a handsome fella, that Glenn Davis.
And he's fashion conscious.
He is.
Dressed to the nines all the time.
I wish I looked like him, and I wish I had his wardrobe even more. Yeah, he's a handsome fella. His niece is married to Derek Jeter for a reason. Like, good looks runs in the family, I think.
That's right. Right. GD, no, he's GQ.
What does he call you?
Paisan.
Paisan. Not Panzon?
No, Paisan. There's a story behind it. It involves someone on another station.
Do you know what Panzon means?
No.
It means fatty.
I figured you'd have some kind of complimentary comeback.
Oh,
Porky, hog, fat ass, double wide, butterball.
Dang, Brian, coming at him hard. Octavio played for the second most Major League Baseball teams behind Edwin Jackson with 14, says a texter. Some good texter trivia there. Ocho says Dotel is my favorite of the Lidge, Dotel, Wagner trio. Always wanted him to be the closer. You know, I never ranked my favorite relievers, but I was always fond of Dotel, too. I liked him a lot, but I liked Lidge and Wagner as well, so I don't know where I would have had him ranked there, but did love me some Dotel.
Well, he was so versatile, too, like you said, even coming as a starter eventually. But when he got into the seventh inning role, the eighth inning role, wherever you used him, he was always effective. And we used to joke that Dotel was the Chucky Brown or Tony Massenburg of Major League Baseball, because those two guys have the longest amount of teams that any player's ever played for. I think it's 15. Yeah. I think Dotel played close to 50. He could do his rec room with all of his jerseys and fill up the walls.
I hear you on the comp for teams played, But those two guys did not have the career relative to their sport than Dattel did for his sport.
I don't know if he won a World Series or not, but Chucky Brown won an NBA championship.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just individual accolade. Like, Octavio Dattel was one of the top relievers in baseball for a good period of time. Like, Chucky Brown, his best years were what?
Oh, I mean, massive. Look, I would think it was a lot of it was centered around the Rockets championship year, the 95 season.
He was getting, what, 10 minutes a game?
He was starting. And probably getting maybe more like 15.
I mean, he was a good role player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, like, poo-poo on Chucky Brown, although it sounds like I'm poo-pooing on Chucky Brown.
And, like, Tony Massenburg was, like, their backup big in Utah.
He was getting 25 minutes that it won the championship year, though. He got 25 minutes, 95-96.
The year after. Okay.
He was getting 20 minutes a game that championship year, but came off the bench more than started that year.
Well, they rotated starters at that. It was Chilcutt and Chucky Brown.
Pete Chilcutt.
And Rudy liked, if it was like a matchup where they needed more low post defense, Chucky played. If they needed a wing, like a guy to bring the big man out at the four, Chilcutt would shoot threes from that position and start. But both those guys got more minutes than you'd ever would have thought for a championship team.
Dattel pitched into his 39. My goodness. It was after they traded Thorpe, right? That's when they started kind of rotating guys.
Yeah, the year of the Drexler trade, they had to go with just makeshift power forwards.
Yeah, because they didn't have one.
No, they brought in Charles Jones, and he was like 60 years old, and he played like 5-6 minutes a game because they needed his 6 fouls, and he had some kind of intelligence on how to defend. And then I remember just after every game, it was like almost the extra payment on top of his contract. He'd go to the equipment guy, "You got my beer?" And they'd give him like a 6-pack. He'd go, "See y'all tomorrow," and just be out. That was it.
Now, if memory serves, Ori would finish a lot of games at the four, though, right?
Yes.
That was kind of like their death lineup was Ori at the four.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always liked him at that role.
They started him at the three, but he finished at the four, yes.
Honey Glaze Branham's ripping you.
Why?
Blank, I just told you, he played for 13 teams, Dattel did.
Okay, I guessed 15. Right off the cuff, I guessed 15. I was close.
Honey Glaze Branham was ripping on Brian earlier today, too. I forgot what he said, though.
I barely even said anything today. What did I do?
I don't know. He called you sassy.
Honey Glaze Branham has no filters.
I've said
he goes
two
after
words
everybody.
All show outside of this sentence currently.
Why is Brian being such a – it's too many words, though. Why is Brian being such a sassafras?
I haven't said anything. How can I be a sassafras?
Text, where's the John Hudek love? Where would you rank Tony Sipp? I could not stand Tony
Sipp.
Tony
Sipp drives me nuts. Oh,
you know who I liked less than Tony Sipp, though? Who? You remember Mike Gallo?
I was just about to say that name. Lefty.
I remember the name.
Mike
Lefty.
Gallo.
Yeah.
Could not stand Mike Gallo. Like, the only reason he was in the bigs was because he was left-handed, mm-hmm. but he couldn't get anybody out. He couldn't get lefties out. He was in the bigs because he was left-handed, but could not get lefties out. He was awful.
He was like, because he was a couple years later than the guy I'm about to name, but I had a very similar feeling about him like that I did about Trevor Miller, who was the guy that gave up the, 600-foot home run to Jim Edmonds in 2004?
Oh, yeah, Trevor Miller. What are your favorite and least favorite obscure Astro relievers of all time? 713-780-ESPN. We'll still get to the Wesneski. I thought he should have pitched him for another inning. We'll dive into that. And this Arrighetti news ain't great. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Blank, Branham, Bees, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776.
You want some trivia?
Yes.
It's a little bizarre on this. But
no.
So of the most teams played for in the NBA, the top five, four of them are Rockets. Four of them were Rockets at one point in their career.
Wow.
I never would have guessed that. The only one that wasn't was Joe Smith. That was the one where he was a first round, number one overall pick, and then McHale.
That was the one that married Pocahontas, right?
He did?
That's Joseph Smith. Nice joke.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that one.
I like that we get Pilgrim talk on the show. That's well done. Yeah.
You don't like people from the 1600 blankers? What's wrong with you?
I just
wasn't. I think it was John Smith, though. I think it was John Smith.
Okay. John Smith, Joe Smith, yeah. Whatever. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your name is, quote the Rock.
So who were the three? The Rockets?
The three guys played 12 games or 12 teams. Jimmy Jackson, Tony Massenburg.
Oh, wow.
Chucky Brown, and number one all-time ex-Rocket-ish Smith.
Oh, yeah.
13 teams.
Yeah, I always liked Ish Smith.
Great.
Dude. I liked Jimmy Jackson, too. Remember, I think he and David Wesley were on the team at the same time.
That was
time,
the Van Gundy years.
Yeah, it was like the Van Big Arm years, too. Those
Jimmy
guys
Jackson
were
was
jacked.
Ripped up, yep.
Yeah, those two dudes were like, they had huge biceps, like the biggest biceps you'd see on the basketball floor. All right. who are your favorite?
Ish Smith once did a commercial with my dog.
Okay.
Brian, you might have been
nice
there.
Flex.
Yeah, I don't remember if I was there when Ish Smith was there. I don't remember.
Okay.
Favorite obscure or maybe least favorite obscure Astro relievers of yore. He actually did a brief stint with the Astros in AAA, but Clay Hensley, now part of the TV broadcast team occasion. I haven't seen him on there a while.
Not this year.
The one who gave up Barry Bonds' 755th home run was optioned the next day. He went to Pearland, didn't he? Didn't he go to Pearland High School? I'm pretty sure he did.
Somewhere from around here, but yeah.
Mike McNatty. How do you say his name? How do you say his last name again?
McNanty.
McNanty, that's it. My brother and I were like the only kids who showed up for his autograph at the old Your Team store in Memorial City. I remember him pitching, but I don't remember much of him. Key says Dwight Gooden. I don't know if Dwight Gooden ever came out of the pen for the Astros.
No.
I remember him as a starter.
Yeah, he was a starter.
Yeah, like he wasn't very good, though, so maybe he like moved into the bullpen. You know how many games he started for the Astros?
16.
One.
Just
he pitched
the,
in
the
one
very first game.
One ever, and that was it?
He didn't pitch in the first game ever. He pitched. It was an exhibition game that he pitched in.
Against
Dotel started the first game ever.
Okay.
Yeah, so Dwight Gooden pitched in one game for the Astros, and then they DFA'd him.
Hmm.
I thought he pitched in more games, too.
For sure. I thought that they had him for like at least half or more of a season until maybe he just didn't have it
Oh,
anymore.
Wait a second. They didn't DFA. They traded him after one start. They traded him to the Tampa Bay Rays after a single start. What did they get for Dwight Gooden? Let's see if I can find this real quick. For money.
Okay.
They sold Dwight Gooden
Uncle
to
Drayton.
The Tampa Bay Devil Rays at the time. I wonder how much they got for final year of his career, Dwight Gooden.
They got to somehow finance Sheriff Blaylock's nachos, Joel. Don't knock Drayton.
Drayton McClain sold Dwight Gooden, man. That's not a great look.
No, not at all.
Not a great look there, Drayton.
For straight cash, homie?
He pitched in one game for you, and then you trade Dwight Gooden for cash. Not great there, Drayton. And he probably used that cash to fund the tractor he bought for Roy Oswalt. Unbelievable, this Drayton McClain. Can't believe that. 713-780 ESPN. I didn't realize he was traded. Brandon Puffer. Obscure reliever, put four balls 10 feet up the backstop in Pittsburgh in his debut. I do not remember
I don't
Brandon
either.
Puffer. I have zero recollection of one Brandon Puffer. Who was worse, Tony Sipp or Siono Perez? Perez actually had some good years in Baltimore.
Yes.
He turned out to be pretty good.
Right. He's been pitching very well since he left the Astros.
Yeah, I can't remember if he had like a career year and then he's like fallen back to earth or if he had like several decent seasons. But he's getting ripped lately. Well, it's only been four games. He's got a 1964 ERA this year. He's given up 8 runs in 3 2/3. But that's a small sample. Last year he had a 4.53. The year before that a 3.54. The year before that he had a 1.40 ERA. That 1.40 ERA year is the year that I'm thinking of. He was really good. Like he was one of the best relievers in baseball that year.
Yeah, the
7-1, 1.40 Ernie.
What year was that?
That was in 22.
Yeah, I was gonna say because he was their go-to lefty out of the pen. When they had a really good season too, that I thought he had at least one really career type year.
Yeah. What other relievers are we missing here?
Well, again, on a guy that played with a lot of teams, wasn't LaTroy Hawkins on a lot of teams?
Oh, I love the Hawk. He was one of my favorite.
I'll tell you who. If you talk to the media, I would say that they think that this guy was one of the worst players to deal with one of the worst attitudes in all of sports.
LaTroy Hawkins?
No. This guy I'm about to say.
Okay. Well, you've teased this long enough.
Trying to see if you can guess it. And he tried his hand at being a country singer.
I don't remember.
I know who you're talking about now, but tell me the name. I can't.
Brett Myers.
Brett Myers.
He wasn't
yes.
a reliever, though.
Yes, he was. Here he was.
I thought he was the dude who choked Ed Wade.
He was. I mean, I think even John and Lance have stories, but he was. Oh, he no was one wanted to approach right. him in the locker room or any other time.
Yeah, he started his first 2 years, and they moved him in his final year to the bullpen. So technically, yes. I'm pretty sure he choked Ed Wade.
No, that well, what was no the guy that choked Ed Wade was the guy that he had a stint with the Yankees too. That was the starter. I got to look that up. I remember that. That was like right out at a press conference.
Oh, it was Sean Chacon.
Chacon, there you go.
That's my bad. My bad, Brett Myers, for slandering your name. When you sue ESPN 97.5 and not me, please. Yeah, it was Chacon. But I do remember Myers being a turd. That's why I was thinking that he was the one who choked Ed Wade. No, Sean Chacon choked Ed Wade. There's an obscure reliever of yore that you can remember.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Would you ever say a white player was sold and not traded for cash? Yeah, Babe Ruth. The easy one. Yeah, absolutely I would. Roberto Osuna says somebody, not Jeff Luno's greatest move.
No.
Not Jeff Luno's greatest move, that Roberto Osuna guy. I remember reading the that book that Evan Drylich or whatever you say his name, the winning is everything or winning fixes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently like over half of the front office did not want anything to do with Osuna. And Luno was like, well, I'm doing it anyways. And then did it anyways. Jose Valverde says somebody, I remember Valverde saved like 40 games once. Brandon Backe, Galveston Ball, baby. Osuna, Francisco Liriano. Remember the Astros traded Teoscar Hernandez for Francisco Liriano?
That's right.
Those were the days. Now, the Astros did win the World Series that year, but probably a trade that Luno would have liked to have back.
Oh,
one of the worst moves he's ever made.
Yes, Teoscar ended up with the career he's still having. Absolutely.
Yeah, they probably would have left in free agency by now, but you would have gotten some good years out of Teoscar. You only got a rental out of Francisco Liriano.
It's like the hater trade for Carlos Gomez and
the Rat.
The Rat. Yeah, Fires.
Yeah, that was probably his worst trade, that one. Yep. Liriano was probably the second worst trade. Now, releasing J.D. Martinez might be the worst transaction.
True.
Might be able to put now the
And J.D. was actually begging his way
things.
To get one more year.
Yeah, he was. He's like, I changed my swing in winter ball. Give me one more chance. And Luno said, no, we got to play Rick and Kill. 713-780-ESPN. Do you think Hayden Wesneski should have stayed in yesterday's game? He was at 82 pitches.
Yeah.
I
look, I know it's early in the season, but, he was coasting. He was, I want to say, right there in the seventh with 70, and I thought, oh, my God, you might be able to get two more out of him. And I know that, they always want him to leave on a happy note. And, he only gave up two runs and he pitched his tail off. I thought, especially when you know that Hader's not available, I would have at least thrown him back out there. And if he got into any trouble at all or walked one guy, not like Taylor Scott walking two guys.
Yep.
But if he walks one, then he's done.
Yeah. Give him a base runner. Give him until there's a base runner, you're staying in this game. I'd rather have Wesneski for another inning with how he was pitching than any reliever not named Josh Hader, Brian Abreu.
Totally agree.
I would have extended him for one more. How about this Arrigetti news? Got hit during batting practice. It broke his thumb. The Astros haven't given a date, but I actually broke my thumb in high school. I played through it, though, because, I'm a gamer and I'm a dog. But
I'm a dog!
They haven't given the release, like the injury timeline or whatever, but I've been around the block a time or two. It takes like 6 to 8 weeks for the bone to heal. Like the fastest is 4 to 6 weeks. But even whenever he is done having it healed, he has to relearn to pitch.
Right.
I mean, I'm being a little bit egregious there. I'm being a little hyperbolic. But he's going to have to be conditioned again. He's going to have to be stretched out. He's going to have to build up his stamina again. So, like, even best-case scenario, let's say 4 to 6 weeks on the earliest timeline of that. I would say it's probably more 6 to 8. But let's go 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, the right thumb, that's critical for a right-handed thrower.
That's the biggest thing.
So 4 to 6 weeks for the bone to heal. then you're looking at probably at minimum, at minimum, 2 weeks sounds lofty. I'm going to go at minimum 3 weeks. I think that the earliest timeline for Arrigetti to be back is 7 weeks. At the earliest.
You got to get him ramped back up and stretched out. It's going to take some time for that. It's like it's almost going to be like where you're going to lose the first, almost the first, I want to go as far as the whole first half of the season, but he's going to be so like starting from almost square one by the time he's healthy that, you know, I started thinking about it like, okay, now maybe they do need more pitching help, whether it's you're going to go to Blue Ball and Gusto or you're really watching LMJ more carefully. Yeah. You know Garcia's not in the mix, and that sucks, but that's another monkey wrench. But this is a problem.
Yeah. I mean, this is – I mean, you – now you should account for this stuff to happen. Like, you should prepare for injuries to happen. As a general manager, like that's why you want starting pitcher depth is because starters aren't going to pitch every game all year. Like you're, the five guys you have to start the season in your starting rotation, it is extremely unlikely for all of them to get through the year unscathed. So you should always have the depth. Now, the freak injury aspect of this stinks. Arrigetti like was really good in his first start, not so good in his second start, but you're counting on him to be your number three starter, and now he's going to be, in my opinion, out at least 7 weeks. And, yeah, Gusto is going to get the first opportunity. Lance McCullers, you know, hasn't had great line scores, although you don't really worry about the line scores of rehab starts, do we?
Did he pitch last weekend?
Yeah, he did.
I was wondering with the weather if they were actually going to throw him.
No, I read that he did. Okay. He got hit up a little bit, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'll have to look up the exact numbers, but I remember the last time we went through this with Lance when he came up, and I guess it was, 1st of August in 2022, and it made 8 starts in the majors before the playoffs started. But his you know, rehab starts, whether I think it was 4 or 5 starts he made, I mean, the numbers were pretty bad. My ERA, I believe, was north of 5 in those starts.
Yeah,
I could double-check.
Yeah,
so I like you said, just to back it up, like I – look at 2022 when he was in a similar situation. I don't really take much from his rehab starts as far as like ERA. As long as the velocity and the movement's there, then I'm excited.
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to paint the silver lining here.
Yeah, he started in Corpus. Went an inning and 2/3, gave up 4 runs, 2 earned on 4 hits, walked 3.
Mm.
So make of that what you will.
It was chilly. It was weather-related. Come on.
Yeah, Lance is kind of soft that way, too, where if things aren't perfect, he kind of melts down. Mm-hmm. So maybe that does come into play.
I hope so.
I mean, I don't care about rehab stats too much either, but the walks I don't love. Like, that's a lot of walks in a short amount of time.
Especially with a team that's been giving up a lot of walks, starting with the 3-4 starters.
But, I mean, they are going to have to make a decision with Lance by late April because, I mean, those rehab assignments for pitchers are only 30 days long, and then you have to make a decision whether to call them up or put them back on the IL. So, I mean, decision day is coming here in a few weeks when it comes to Lance. Josh James mentioned somebody.
Oh, my God, I hated him. And you know what? You guys know how much
I
hated
him. Something. What did they call him?
Crap?
No, they called him like 100. Oh, that was it? No, that was Ken Giles. They called Ken Giles 100 Miles Giles because he threw 100. But they feel like I think Josh James had a nickname too. I just can't remember.
I had plenty of them, and they were negative. And then Tony Sipp, when he was with the Nationals, was still giving Josh James advice between appearances to straighten him out. I'm like, what are we doing?
I had a Game Ward Reiner Cruz hat. Chad Qualls. Chad Qualls not really obscure. Like, he was pretty foundational.
Yeah, I like Qualls, but he's not obscure.
What were the two Qualls and who was the other guy?
Wheeler.
Wheeler. Qualls. Yeah, were the 7-8 guys.
I don't know if this will qualify as obscure, but he was a part of a 6-man no-hitter, but I was always a fan of Kirk Sarlos.
Yeah, Kirk Sarlos was fine.
Yeah.
Why is Flame – that's right, Josh Flames James, because he threw hard. I knew he had a nickname.
He did throw hard.
Now, it's not the greatest of nicknames. Like,
Flames
I wouldn't want
James,
my nickname to be Flames. Like,
Baytown Batty was a big fan of Josh James.
Was he?
Yeah,
well,
he always talked about his
so
quote-unquote electric stuff.
He knows ball, all right.
I like Josh James, too, though. So.
How about Felipe Paulino?
I love Felipe Paulino. He never really materialized, but I love me some Felipe Paulino. What a terrible nickname Flames is, though. Like, I can't get over that. That's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, it's
Josh
not good.
Flames James. Like, I feel like people in high school were called that when we were bullying them. Right?
Yeah. It's not. That's not, yeah. You don't want to, you want to put the flame out. You don't want to, yeah, Flames James. No. God, I could not stand Josh James.
I better be careful. Why is he out there in the field in the first place during batting practice? That's common, man. Yeah, that's common. Like, they're out there. Now, he wasn't shagging. Like, he was – I think this was actually during Mariners batting practice. He was just playing catch. But that's normal. Like, they have throw days. Mm-hmm. They got to go out there and catch. Now, you know, maybe this – injuries, though, can kind of change some things. Remember Mariano Rivera? Didn't he tear his knee up during batting practice shagging?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, that
Pretty
sounds
sure
right. There's been guys before that have – hurt themselves shagging balls.
I mean, it's very normal for the other team or your team to be out throwing around shagging balls during either your batting practice or the other team's batting practice. A lot of pitchers do it for their cardio because it's better cardio than, like, running poles and stuff like that. But it is very, very normal.
A lot of them, yeah, they actually do the poles, and then after they're done running the poles, then they go back out and shag some more.
Yeah. So. Don't know if mentioned, but I was a big Chris Sampson fan. Didn't he go to Crosby? I think he went to Crosby. Chris Sampson. Could be wrong, but I think he did. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Cash him or trash him. What are we cashing or trashing with the Bees? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what's annoying? Paying money when you shouldn't be paying money. Yeah, well, that's annoying, isn't it? You can have more money in your pocket. You can have more money in the account. Your wife could spend more of your money. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of cost. HomeWheels here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but also save you money. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and I do not want it to be you. I love you, so I'm trying to save you some cash. Head to HomeWheel.com and sign up in less than 3 minutes to get their experts fighting for you. Their cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with no upfront cost. That's right. No upfront cost. Only pay if you save. You can't beat that. No risk, all reward. I'm the numbers guy at the station, so let me throw some numbers at you. 86% of HomeWheels customers receive a reduction, with the average customer saving over $1,100. And again, all you have to do is sign up, and you do it less than three minutes. HomeWheel handles it all for you from start to finish, delivers top results. They level the playing field, eliminate the concern of paying too much on property tax for the everyday home and property owner like you and me. So you can save tons of money. All it's going to take for you is 3 minutes. It's not going to cost you a dime unless they can save you some money. Now, here's a date that you need to know. May 15th. That's the deadline to protest. May 15th. Don't run out of time. Save money on your property taxes with HomeWheel. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start that protest today at HomeWheel.com. That's HomeWeell.com. HomeWeell.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good. But that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bee.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Here's a text. Worst trade the Astros made was Willier Abreu for Christian Vasquez. He didn't frame it as a cash him or trash him, but I'll frame it for him. The worst trade the Astros ever made was Willier Abreu for Christian Vasquez. Cash it or trash it.
Right now it looks pretty bad. I still think that the Hader trade was worse, but there is the potential that that one could surpass it at a certain point.
The one for me was Curt Schilling. The Astros traded Curt Schilling for Jason Grimsley in 1992. Like, that to me tops it. Curt Schilling, Hall of Fame level.
They traded Kenny Lofton too, right?
They did. I think the return for Lofton was actually pretty good.
Okay.
I remember digging deep into this once and always landed on Curt Schilling. But they did have Kenny Lofton in the early 90s.
And I think they traded Johan Santana. And,
no, they lost him in the Rule 5.
Oh, they lost Rule 5, okay.
Yeah, same way they lost Bobby Abreu. The Astros traded a 24-year-old Kenny Lofton to the Cleveland Indians in exchange for – whoops, my bad – to the Cleveland Guardians in exchange for Ed Taubensy. So, not great.
No.
Yeah, not great.
Taubensy was better than Grimsley.
You were
though.
Right.
Schilling was probably better than Lofton over the course of their careers.
I mean, Schilling's not in the Hall, right?
Probably would be if he was liked
yes,
more.
Yes, exactly.
But no, he's
stats
not in the
wise,
hall.
He probably deserves it. But yeah, Kenny Lofton's not in the Hall of Fame, is he?
No.
So there you go.
No, I would. I'm going to trash this. I think the Astros have made worse trades than Willier Abreu
trash.
For Christian Vasquez. But that one does not look good.
Yeah, I'll trash.
Well, I don't like trading for Reynolds. Not a fan of trading for Reynolds. What do you got?
You were right, because at the time they were the Indians.
I was just reading. I had a Ron Burgundy moment. I'm Ron Burgundy? I'm Charles Barkley, and I'm a
dumbass.
All right, what is your cash or trash?
Let's bring some positivity to this. Your Houston Cougars are going to return to the Final Four next year. They're going to play in the national championship game. And dare I say, as a caveat, they're going to win it next year.
Yeah, let's do it. Cash it.
Cash it all the way to the bank. As tough as this one is, I believe there's more positivity ahead, and this team ain't going anywhere. So let's fire that one up.
Cash. I'll cash that one. Cash them or trash them. Anyone who sleeps with a blanket tucked under their mattress is a lunatic.
I will cash that. I do not care for that at all.
It's one of the worst things.
I like to be able to, if it gets a little hot, you can get your feet out there and get a little coolness.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't like the tucked in at the bottom.
A lot of times I'm half of my body's outside of the blanket half the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you have your blanket tucked into your mattress, you're a special. You are some kind of person. And you're a person I don't want to have dinner with. You're a person I don't want to have a drink with. I'm probably insulting half of our fan base. What percentage of people do you think sleeps with their blanket tucked under their mattress?
I would say 70%.
I think it's... No, that much?
I do.
No.
A lot of it is significant other driven. I think a lot of women like to have it all tucked in and neat and tight.
They do like to cuddle.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that high.
I think it's 10%.
I would go a little higher than that. I'll put it at 20, but I think it's pretty low.
I'm gonna have a Twitter poll on this tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow morning. I'm not really in the tweeting mood today. Still sad. But I'll tweet about that tomorrow. I'm curious. Brian, cash or trash them for you?
I'm beginning to get to the point where unless Golden Tate falls... I said Golden Tate, sorry. Unless Matthew Golden falls to the Texans at 25, which it feels unlikely when you look at these mock drafts. I think I'm out on wide receiver in the first round. I'm not thinking they're set, and I wouldn't mind them taking a wide receiver in the second round. I just don't love the overall quality of the guys that would be projected to be there around 25, other than Matthew Golden. So with needs possibly still on the defensive line, obviously offensive line, depth running back, whatever, I'm out on wide receiver unless Tate, or I say Golden Tate again, unless Matthew Golden falls to 25.
Went to Texas. You don't even know his name. I would never forget Matthew Golden's name.
Golden Tate was a Lion and a Seahawk, right?
Amongst other, yeah, I think that might have been it. Play for Notre Dame as well.
Flex.
I've been big on getting a receiver at 25.
I just don't like the other guys.
What if it's Tet from Arizona?
I don't know that we never played the audio, but that audio of him not watching film, I don't love.
All right, well, we'll talk about that tomorrow. I don't want to blow that.
Igbuke was the guy that I want. So I'm going to trash it just simply because I still like the idea. I think it's more of a best player available, so you're not locked into an offensive line. But if the right wide receiver is there.
You're only going to take a white wide receiver?
Yeah, which white wide receiver do you like? That guy from TCU.
You already got Berrios. So you're good.
And Justin Watson.
And Watson, yeah. Elementary. I would say that if there is a good wide receiver available there, you still can take it. Brian got that.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it.
Trash.
I'm not reading that one, Honey Glaze Branham. Bad Astros trade Luis Gonzalez to the Cubs. Who do the Astros? Astros trade Luis Gonzalez to the Cubs. Now, Luis Gonzalez at the time wasn't that great. Like, he was fine, but he wasn't great. He became great in Arizona. He and Steve Finley in their late 30s. They got Scott Servais.
Boy.
No, never mind. I'm sorry. They traded Luis Gonzalez and Scott Servais for Rick Wilkins. Not a great trade.
Nope.
But Luis Gonzalez was not great as a Cub, and I'm pretty sure the Astros got him back after he was a Cub.
And wasn't he making a good amount of money at that time? Gonzo?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of money they're making in the mid-90s.
If Uncle Drayton's making the decisions, if he's trying to cut salary at all times, maybe that factored in.
Yeah, the Astros got him back in 97. He was only with the Cubs in 95, 96, came back to the Astros in 97, spent a year in Detroit, and then enhanced his numbers in Arizona.
Indeed he did, and he wasn't
the only one. I don't
think
that was that bad of a trade. Yeah. Untucked covers is savagery. What? Untucked covers is savagery?
Why?
Why? That's insane. Tuck covers is savagery. Yeah. Blankets are tucked in the Miller household. We are civilized, says Jasper. Wow. He's calling us rabid humans.
Yeah, this from Jasper, of all people. And the fact that your feet are held prisoner to the heat for the entire evening and all night long, that's ridiculous.
Right, we're Twitter polling this tomorrow. Just not in the mood for it today. Cash or trash, bacon is overrated.
Never, ever, ever.
Trash.
I used to think that it was back in the day, but I've become cultured. I've become civilized. I no longer think that. I love bacon now. I don't know why, but I had like a 3 or 4 year kick where I didn't love bacon. Now, I do think it shouldn't belong on certain things. Like, I don't think it belongs on a cheeseburger. That's one of my unpopular food takes.
Yeah, it is unpopular. Bad take.
No, the flavor of a cheeseburger is so good, it shouldn't be overwhelmed with the powerful flavor of bacon.
You can add to the flavor.
Eh, now it's not. I mean, now it's basically you're eating bacon. Like, I don't think
that a cheeseburger. I'm waiting for the
downside. Yeah, I don't. I like a cheeseburger for a cheeseburger. I don't want the bacon overpowering the cheeseburger. But like I said, it was an unpopular take. All right, I got to get out of here. I got a call.
Bacon on a grilled cheese. Amazing.
Okay, I'm not reading that texter. Let's see. First thing I do when I get to a hotel room, crank the AC down as low as it go and untuck all the blankets. I do the same thing. I do the same thing, Eric the driver. Okay, I'm not reading that one either. All right, 713-780-ESPN. It's okay if I leave. I'm going to leave. Two Cougs talking points that I think Brian's tired of. Blankers and B-Mackers. The rest of the way, I'll talk to you tomorrow. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.